This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
Hey, Commodores, we're back with another episode of Q&A with the Dean. This is Lauren, and today we'll be asking a few questions to get to know Dean Grisolfi better. So, hi, welcome.
Thank you.
I just want to start by going over your titles, because you have a lot, so I'm going to give them a try, and then you can correct me. So, as well as being Dean of the Commons, you're Dean of Residential Colleges, and then Associate Professor of Mathematics, Education, and Learning Sciences, and Learning Environment Design at Peabody.
That's close. So I'm close. I'm a professor. So there's three different levels of professor. So assistant is when you first are new. Associate is when you get tenure, and then full professor is you're all done.
Awesome. Okay.
But that's right. So I'm a professor of math education, and then we've actually changed the name of the program to learning sciences, and that's a field.
Okay.
So those are two different fields that.
Okay, so as a professor, what is your role kind of involved here on campus?
Well, when I was only a professor, before I was dean, most professors teach classes, and depending on the kind of professor you are, you also have research obligations or research opportunities, depends on how you think about it. I love doing research, and I usually have some kind of grant from the National Science Foundation that is about... all of my work is about how you design learning environments or redesign learning environments to try to disrupt the school practices of mathematics that make so many people think they're bad at math. And so if we think about, and that is because math is often about answering things quickly, focusing on what your answer is as opposed to what your thinking is. There's some aspect of competition often, and not a lot of chances to really think about why. And so that can really turn off a lot of people and then also give people the false idea that they're bad at math simply because they might want to take some time to think about it. So all of my work is, and then that is really about your identity, right? How you think about yourself and how you act in relation to your experiences. So that's what my research is about. So then I have these projects that are about how do we disrupt that? And the way I do that is by looking at other places that aren't teaching people that they're bad at things, right? And think about what can we learn from those practices that could help us disrupt mathematics practices. So I've had one project that was about video games. So we designed video games, immersive video games where kids were doing mathematical problem solving. And, you know, because in video games you die, like by definition, right? That's just a good game. You can't beat the first level. And so, but in math, if you get something wrong, people are like, oh my God, I got it wrong. I'm terrible at math, right? So that's a great example of taking this naturally occurring practice and saying, well, what if we just made math look like that? So we designed immersive video games, and sure enough, kids would fail all the time and they didn't get upset and they would try again. And they really loved the game and they learned. I've had projects that does that. I had one that was about textile art because similarly, I'm a knitter. If you knit, even if you've been knitting for years, which I have, I've been knitting for decades, you still are going to make mistakes. And in knitting, that is just a thing that happens, right? In fact, it is so anticipated that you're going to make mistakes in knitting that you can take classes about fixing mistakes.
Okay.
And knitting also tends to be not collaborative in that we're working on something together, but that I easily could ask you for help or inspiration or your insight. Nobody thinks that's cheating, right? And so that was that project as well. It's like, well, what is sustaining about knitting? Knitting is inherently mathematical anyway. And how could we learn from that and put that into math environments? And my current grant that I have is about integrating play into elementary math classrooms because... play is an act of exploration. It's an act of exercising agency. And in mathematics, that's what we want people to be doing. So as a professor, I spend a lot of time designing these projects, collecting data. I have doctoral students who work on these projects and research assistants, and undergraduates work on my project as well. And then, you know, we write it up or we go to conferences. And then also I, I teach classes. So now that I'm dean, I don't teach as many classes as I used to because obviously I have other ways to spend my time. But I'll teach undergraduate classes about children's mathematics thinking. I taught an undergraduate honor seminar called Playing to Learn, which was very fun. And then I teach, you know, master's level courses, doctoral courses on research methods, kind of the whole gamut.
Oh, that's so interesting. Thanks for sharing. Do you feel like with all the research that you've been doing and the different ways you're involved as a professor, what kind of crossover does that have to your role as Dean of the Commons?
A lot. So It's interesting. So I am the third Dean of the Commons, but the previous two deans, so the first dean was Frank Weislow, and I actually have never had a chance to meet Frank Weislow, but he was a professor of history. And then the second Dean of the Commons was Vanessa Beasley, and she was a professor of communication. And so neither of those fields are fields that are about people's learning, right? And So I'm the first dean whose research like had possible inroads to what was happening on the commons. It's not a requirement of the job, but you can't kind of turn off your like designing for learning brain. Yeah. And so the kind of research methodology that I use in my research is called design-based research. And it basically, so I think a lot of people know what an experimental design is, but most of the time when you're dealing with humans in complex spaces like schools or after-school settings, like it's really hard to design an experiment, right? Mm-hmm. And largely, in order to design a good experiment, you have to create so many controls that the thing you're looking at doesn't really resemble real life anyway. So if you want to look at real life settings, people call them naturalistic settings, you need a different set of methods. So design-based research allows you to say, I have a conjecture about what might be going on here. I'm going to design something to test that conjecture, and I'm going to see what happens. And then I'm going to do it again and again and again. And that is largely how we do programming on the commons, where we're constantly collecting information about how students are feeling, what they're doing, what they like. Sometimes we collect it just from conversations. Sometimes we give surveys. And then we think about, well, what does that suggest for what we need to do or what we ought to do differently, what program students need? So that orientation has really affected the work that we do in residential commons. Residential colleges, rather. I actually have a whole project that emerged because of being dean. Because people knew I studied math learning. If they were struggling in their undergraduate math classes, they would start to come to me and talk to me about it. And I was learning that some of the struggles that people were having are very similar to what we have well documented in K-12 contexts.
Okay.
And so we've been studying first-year students' experiences in calculus and trying to understand sort of instructional practices that support their learning. Sometimes people think, you know, develop these ideas that they're not good at math, but in fact, they're just struggling on tests, right? Those aren't actually the same thing. A test doesn't tell you if you're good or bad at something. It just tells you that you did badly on the test. And so we've interviewed me and like doctoral students who work with me have interviewed all kinds of faculty in the math department, lots of students, and working with the math department to think about like, you know, what are the kinds of instructional practices that they want to implement that support students' learning. And so that's been a really fun project.
Okay, that sounds like really fun and very helpful to students too. I just want to kind of get a plug in for the office hours that you host for all freshmen. Is that kind of where you're hearing about this?
Yeah, well, sustained conversations, yes. So yes, thank you for mentioning the office hours. So people can sign up for office hours with me. The link comes through the newsletter, the Commons newsletter. So you should open it.
Okay.
So that's an easy way to sign up for office hours with me because I hold that time open on my calendar. But then also I just talk to students all the time anyway, right? That's kind of my job. And so I often ask people, you know, what's a class you're taking that you're really loving? Or you know, once people get to know me better, sometimes they'll just come up to me and say, like, can I talk to you about something? I'm like, sure. Mm-hmm. This comes up at dean's dinners. So there's a lot of different ways I get this information. In the study, we actually were like systematic where we actually interviewed students. I didn't interview students because when you're doing research with people, you have to make sure you're not coercing them to participate.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it felt, I don't know if the dean asked you to come and talk to you, maybe we'll feel like you have to say yes. So I didn't conduct any of the interviews. My doctoral students conducted the interviews. So that was a little more formal. But
okay.
I learn a lot of this when people talk to me.
Okay, awesome. I just kind of want to like keep us moving along here. As Dean of the Commons, you obviously live on campus near the students. So can you just tell us like who lives with you and what is that like?
Yes. Yeah. I have a husband named Jason. I have two kids, Ansel and Annika, who are 13 and 10. I have two dogs who are Springer Spaniels, Toby and Shadow. And Toby is bigger and he's brown and white. Shadow is the smaller one and he's black and white. We've lived here since 2019, and we really like living on campus, except for the helicopters. Yeah. So the house is the dean's residence is a huge house. And in fact, when we moved here, almost all of our furniture fit on the second floor of the house.
Wow. Okay.
Which is good because the first floor of the house is furnished by Vanderbilt, and you know, so why do I live in this fancy house? It's because the point is to have students come to the house, right? And so that's also why it's so big, because I have a dining room that can seat 20 people.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, who has a dining room table that can seat 20 people?
Yeah.
But actually for a dean's dinner, that's like a little small. Like we have a huge wait list for dean's dinners every time, because usually I have some fabulous guest that you want. Our first dean's dinner is with the chancellor. And how often do you get to have dinner with like, yeah, you know, 18 people and the chancellor? And so, I mean, just really interesting people come to the house. And so, and that's really the point of the house, is that we really want the point of what I do is to think about improving faculty student engagement. And I think that informal interactions are one of the ways that we really create these kinds of relationships. So people come to the house. The house is soundproofed between the two floors.
Okay.
So two kind of funny things. So first, when we moved into the house, the kids were 6 and 8. And obviously the house was a lot bigger than our old house. And then when they would go to bed, they couldn't hear us downstairs in the kitchen. And it made them really anxious. So for the first couple of weeks that we lived here, we would put the kids to bed. And then inevitably we would find them sitting on the stairs, because they were like, we didn't know where you went.
Oh, that's like, so sweet.
We're downstairs. The second thing, though, is as much as there is soundproofing, my son, he's definitely a really sort of like active athletic kid. And I don't know what he does in his bedroom, but like it clearly involves a lot of jumping, and his bedroom is right above the dining room. And so a lot of time when there's dinners, you will hear this like thumping.
Oh, really? From the ceiling
above, and he's like playing soccer. I don't know what he's doing, but yeah.
You know, doing his own thing while there's like a formal dinner downstairs.
Definitely doing his own thing. Yeah.
Okay, so you're beginning your fifth and final year as Dean of the Commons, right?
Well, it's my fifth year. It's the final year of this term.
Okay.
So I can ask to be reappointed, and they can review me and decide if they think I ought to be reappointed.
Okay. So are you planning on doing that?
Well, we'll have to see what they say. I think that we would, my family would like to stay. I have really enjoyed this work. But also, you know, like it is good to get new people in leadership. So we shall see what happens.
Okay. So then I guess since you don't know, do you have any like personal goals or hopes going into this year? Yeah.
Yes. I always have more goals than time.
Okay.
So one goal is just to be able to tell the stories of what happens in residential colleges a little bit more clearly. So like here's a weird thing. So I started as a professor here in 2012. I became Dean of Commons in 2019. So I had been here for 7 years, and I didn't even know we had a residential colleges system for 6 of those 7 years.
Wow. Okay.
And it's even more embarrassing than that, because I'm a professor in Peabody. So my office is in the Wyatt building, which is right next to a residential college, or, you know, one of the houses on the Commons. So, you know, I might have been unusually oblivious, but I don't know that we're really, really good at making sure everyone in our community knows what we're doing, and then also everyone outside of our community. So I want to do a better job telling our stories. The other thing that every year we try to think about is everyone who wants to be a part of our programming showing up for our programming. And so we think every year about who are we missing. Who do we want to invite? So this year we're making sure that as a system, we are celebrating as many holidays as possible, and as many heritage months as possible. which is a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. And we really want to make sure that if you are celebrating a holiday, that you can also see other people learning about it and celebrating it as well. So that's a new thing we're doing this year, because we're constantly trying to make sure that people feel like this is a space where they can be comfortable, that they can start to feel like their space and their home, and your celebrations are part of that. So we want to make sure that that's really happening in all the spaces.
That's really good to hear. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Dean Grisolfi, for your time. And thanks to all of our listeners. And this has been Q&A with the Dean, and we'll see you again next week.
Hello, Commodores. I'm Isha Ramji, hosting this week's Commons Calendar, where I bring you all up to speed with the on-campus happenings. To start off the week, today, Wednesday, August 30th, the Wandry is hosting a social innovation lunch and learn, giving students an opportunity to help create a pathway to becoming future leaders through collaboration in our societies and local communities. Stop by the first floor lounge inside the Engineering and Science Building from 11:45 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Thursday, August 31st, the Ingram's Commons is hosting a house cookie reception with the Career Center. Located in the Dean's residence backyard from 6 to 6:45 p.m., come and enjoy free cookies and info and resources from members of the Career Center. Are you interested in getting your groove on? Join the Vanderbilt Tango Club on Friday, September 1st from 7 to 9 p.m. at Rand Dining Hall for some exciting tango lessons. Students of all levels are welcome and attend ready with shoes with smooth soles or socks and positive energy. Finally, on Monday, September 4th, the Vanderbilt University Concert Choir is holding their Fall 2023 Voice Placement and Open Rehearsal at 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Music Rehearsal Hall. Snacks are provided and all are welcome to audition. No solo auditions or music is required, and all will be encouraged to sing in small groups. And that's all for this week's Commons Calendar. Be sure to check the anchor link for more information on dates and events. Thank you all so much for listening. Now on to the Humans of the Commons segment.
Hey Doors, it's Sophia, a first-year student here with Elena Harris. She is another first-year student who is majoring in HOD and planning to minor in business. She is from Nashville, Tennessee, right by us. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good.
So what house are you in?
I'm in Memorial.
Memorial, and how is it so far?
I actually like it. I like that it's small, so like I can get to know everybody that's in the house, and the bathrooms were pretty good. My room is not huge, but it's not as small as I thought it was going to be, so it's good.
That's nice. So do you guys have laundry? I think it's the only one
of them. Yeah, we don't have laundry, which is sad, but I have to find out how to do it in somebody else's dorm, so.
Okay. Have you met anyone on your floor in your dorm?
Not really, because it's been pretty empty since nobody's really here. So I do know another girl down the hall. She's in another program, though, but that's really it.
And did you choose your roommate, go random?
I went random, but she's really nice, so I think it's going to go well. Yeah.
How has moving, I mean, you haven't moved too far from home, but again, you're living on your own. So how's that been for you so far?
It's been good so far. It's been a little lonely because my roommate's not here yet. Right. So it's like the whole floor is pretty empty too. I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do now? But it's been pretty good. It's exciting to finally be on my own and have like my own room and like my own space. So, yeah.
Has it been pretty different from home, you know, getting up in the morning and the second you wake up, it's like...
Mm-hmm. It's been different waking up not in my room and like not having the bathroom like right there and like not being able to go to the kitchen and all that. So, yeah.
So are you on a co-ed floor or...
It's all girls.
It's all girls. Okay. Yes. So that won't be too different.
Right. Not too different.
So what got you to apply to Vanderbilt?
So my sister actually went to Vandy, so I was really familiar with the campus already, and I've also done VSA here, and I loved it. It was really fun. So I didn't want to be super far from home, so it's like 30 minutes, so it was a good distance, and I just love the school, and I love the HOD major because no other school has that. So.
So you moved in earlier than most people.
Yeah.
If they didn't have an exception, so... How was move-in for you?
Move-in was a little different, obviously, because we didn't have the move-in crew, and it was really empty, like I said. But The perks of it was being alone. Like, there was nobody else to have to worry about. And, like, I didn't have to share the elevator and everything. Right. But it was hard because we didn't have any carts or any help or anything. And then, like, also figuring out how to work the elevator was a struggle by myself. So, but it went well in the end. We got done in, like, 4 hours. So
now that you've been here for a bit, I mean, I know not everything has been open. And
yeah.
We haven't gotten to any type of fair yet, which is coming up in the first few weeks of school.
Yeah.
Is there anything you're already interested in joining?
I'm interested in doing women in business. I feel like that's really empowering to be surrounded by other women that want to do the same thing that I do. And then I'm also interested in staying in my commons life and then possibly participating in the Hustler, but I'm not sure yet.
Nice. What section do you think you'll end up?
I'm not sure yet. I like to write articles, so probably somewhere in there.
So you are currently in the Peabody School.
Yes.
Do you feel pretty set on your major coming in?
Yes. I'm like 100% sure this is what I want to do. I might add a different minor. I'm not sure. I do want a minor in business, but then I also like the MHS classes. So right. Maybe a minor in that.
Maybe double minor.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And do you know what you want to do, or you just do you know what path?
I'm looking to go into marketing or possibly consulting. So okay. Definitely business.
Yeah, of course. Great.
Yeah.
Like choice to have. Everything.
Yes.
Has a little bit of business.
Right.
What does your class load look like?
I'm taking philosophy, macro, econ, HOD, and a literature, pop, and media class. So.
And would you say your schedule's pretty hectic?
I think it's pretty manageable so far. Monday, I just have one class. Tuesday, I have two. Wednesday, one. Thursday's three. And then Friday's one. So it's pretty spread out. It's pretty manageable.
Do you think that you'll be able to handle it? Do you think maybe you might change a course? Are you on the wait list for anything?
I was on the wait list for a calc class, but I'm not sure I'm going to get it. So I think I'm going to be able to handle my classes so far. They seem pretty good. So.
And you said you're pretty familiar for the campus. Yes. So have you already kind of mentally or physically mapped out where everything is?
Not really. I know where Peabody, like the Peabody campus is and those classes, but nothing else really.
Okay. So, but you think you'll?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll figure it out
yes.
for sure. So you're in Memorial
yes.
so far. I've heard they have really great community.
They do because it's so small.
Right. Yeah. What house your sister was in?
She was in Murray.
She was in Murray.
So my parents were hoping I was in Murray too because I already know where everything is. I was like, no, I'm in Memorial.
So you got a little rivalry.
Yeah, a little difference there.
Do you plan on participating in the Commons Cup?
I'll see. Possibly. It seems fun and really competitive. So it is a good way to meet new people.
Right.
So.
Yeah, definitely. Are you competitive, would you say?
Yes, because of volleyball. Right. I like to win, but, like, not too much. Like, I'm calm and like, board games and stuff, but sports, I am competitive.
Okay. Do you think you're going to stay in sports in any way while you're here?
I don't really think so. I can't see myself playing a college sport or, like, doing clubs in college that have to do with athletics. I kind of left that part in high school, but I will miss it. And I think Vandy's making a volleyball team, too, so I can go watch their games later.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yes.
For sure. So moving in, you moved in and it was pretty lonely. Do you have any, like, from how long you've been here, do you have any advice for if someone moves in and feels kind of lonely?
I would say to just don't be afraid to talk to different people. Like, we were on our own for the program, obviously, so we, like, had to talk to different people and make friends and make yourself open and available for people. Like, don't be closed off. And because we're all new at this, and this is all of our first time, so I would just say make yourself available and just have fun and don't stress it too much because somebody will talk to you, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. That's great advice. Thank you so much for joining in on this week's Human of the Commons.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll see you guys next week.
See you next week.
Commons Cast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to CommonsCast at Apple Podcasts or via your favorite podcast app.